The second hour of the third floor begins right now. I'm Bill Cromwell, your host. Thanks for being with me, and especially during this hour when I'll be featuring performances by the renowned English choral ensemble, The 16. And in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by that choir's founder and director, Harry Christophers. But first, some music from the man that Harry Christophers will be primarily discussing, Franck Martin, the Swiss composer born in Geneva in 1890. He lived until 1974, and he's widely regarded as the greatest composer in Switzerland's history. I came to this recording about 4 months ago. I was in contact with the 16, and they were gracious to send me a pile of discs I had requested, including the album I'll be mainly featuring this hour. And the reason I asked for it was simple. Franck Martin was a 20th century composer, and I was not familiar with his work. Now I have the great privilege of bringing his music to you on the third floor, along with Harry Christophers and the 16. We're going to begin with a work composed in 1941 for the National Day of Switzerland, which falls every year on August 1st. It's called the Cantata for the Swiss 1st of August. Harry Christophers and the 16 are joined by organist Margaret Phillips.
Thank you.
A bit of an appetizer for the music of Franck Martin before we get to the main course, which is his Mass for double choir. Just then, his cantata for the Swiss 1st of August, which is the national day of Switzerland. We heard the 16 under the direction of Harry Christophers, with Margaret Phillips accompanying on the organ. I mentioned how I came to be in possession of this recording in the third floor library, and I've listened to this next work again, the featured work of the hour, Franck Martin's Mass for double choir, and I'm enjoying the exploration of the piece, which is definitely new to me. I asked Harry Christophers what particular passages or sections in the work caught his ear. I think you'll enjoy his very developed and thorough response.
I made this recording way back in the early 1990s. It's a fantastic work. You just wish that Franck Martin would have written another sacred work. It's the only unaccompanied sacred work he wrote. Really incredible writing for double choir. And actually, the opening movement, he loved Bach so much, and you can see Bach in a lot of this music. The opening Kyrie, double choir, the way he uses the parts are just fabulous. There's a sort of richness to the harmony. There's a very singable nature to the vocal lines, which wasn't always the case with Franck Martin. What I love about it, actually, in particular, is the glory. It goes through numerous sort of time changes, and the beautiful attention to the words. You really get the feeling that he's making a personal statement. And then, there are echoes of Bach in the use of 16th notes and melismas on the Cum Sancto Spiritu, in Gloria Dei Patri. Really lovely. Two particular moments I really adore, and that is the Sanctus, which opens to this sort of slightly hypnotic rocking motif. It's almost bell-like, and then the rhythmic intensity that he gets on Pleni Sunt Caeli et Terra Gloria Tua. It's a 6-8-5-8. He really is making the rhythms accentuated, really. And then the Gloria to that, Gloria Tua, he gives us a kind of bell reels, which is fantastic. And then, of course, the Agnus Dei, he added 4 years later. He finished the first part of the Mass in 1922, added the Agnus Dei in 1926. And it's sort of like, I'm getting that work out of the drawer again. I just want to complete it. And he felt that this wonderful sense of peace that you get in the Agnus Dei. There's the lovely way he has this just quarter note walking motion in the second choir, sort of almost monotone, but nevertheless with great character. And then over that, this unison tune in the first choir that is just so haunting. Again, wonderfully singable. And I think that's the great thing about this Mass. Parts of it are sort of rhythmically and musically challenging. Some of the notes are quite hard to pitch, etc. But actually, it's a challenge to the singers, but it's one where the singers really enjoy that challenge, and ultimately they find every line wonderfully singable, and that's its wonderful quality.
You can hear the enthusiasm and excitement and passion for this recording that the 16 did about 30 years ago, just coming through from Harry Christophers, their founder and director. Makes me very excited to listen to that work with you right now. Franck Martin's Mass for double choir, again with the 16, conducted by Harry Christophers. It comes in at about 26 minutes. Still lots more to come from Harry Christophers and performances of the 16. I'm Bill Cromwell. We're together on the third floor.
Thank you.
The featured work of the second hour of the third floor, Franck Martin's Mass for Double Choir, performed by the ensemble I'm featuring this hour, the 16, with very special guest, founder and director Harry Christophers. I asked Mr. Christophers more about the Mass for Double Choir. It says in the liner notes that Franck Martin considered the work an affair between God and himself, and it wasn't premiered until 40 years after its composition. And I thought this was very unique and somewhat unusual, and asked Mr. Christophers what his thoughts were about that.
It wasn't only the Mass that Fromartin didn't publish until years after he wrote it. He was an incredibly meticulous composer, and there was a certain sort of reluctance to submit his compositions to public scrutiny until he was really happy with them. In fact, you know, he didn't constantly revise his works, but he just chose to withhold them, really, until he wanted them published. And actually, I think also with the religious works, he was an incredibly religious person. So the Mass is an incredibly intensely personal work he kept in the drawer for about 40 years. Also, I think we have to remember, he constantly lived under the shadow of Bach. He revered Bach, and really didn't feel that anything he wrote could possibly live up to Bach's genius. But of course, the Mass is a fantastic work, and we're really thankful that, you know, 40 years after he wrote it, he got it out of that drawer and he allowed it to be performed.
Even during COVID lockdown, ensembles, choirs, directors, and composers do not remain dormant. I asked Harry Christophers about upcoming projects.
Over the last number of years, we've commissioned actually quite a lot of music from contemporary composers. And of course, during this lockdown period, composers have not been dormant. They've been busy working at their scores. And of course, we've had a long association with James McMillan. And literally the other day, through the post arrived James's latest offering to us, which is a double choir motet commissioned by the Genesis Foundation for us. And it's a setting of a Cardinal Newman meditation that I had set into verse by the Dean of Canterbury, Robert Willis, who's done it absolutely splendidly. And James has produced this wonderful double choir motet. It's about 10 minutes long, and it's really fabulous. James has produced something absolutely wonderful.
I would love to be able to tell you that I have some sort of early version recording of that James McMillan work for double choir that Harry Christophers was mentioning, but I don't. So we're going to have to settle for Song for Athena from Scottish composer James McMillan, once again performed by the 16 under the direction of Harry Christophers, right here on the third floor. Our special guest today on the third floor, Harry Christopher, is leading the 16 in music of Scottish composer James Macmillan and his Song for Athena. The 16 has a fairly significant and impressive project underway these last months, a choral odyssey, a series of online programs produced by the 16 with founder and conductor Harry Christophers and presented by actor Sir Simon Russell Beale. A choral odyssey will feature five programs exploring sumptuous music and beautiful architecture. Presented again by Simon Russell Beale, each episode will take an in-depth look at a wide-ranging selection of choral music in locations that are relevant to the music and which inform the theme and choice of repertoire. The locations include Hatfield House, Hertfordshire, Magdalen College, Oxford, Our Lady of the Assumption and St. Gregory, London, the Sam Wanamaker Playhouse at Shakespeare's Globe, London, and Penshurst Place, Kent. And these programs will be available through April 1st, 2021, and I would encourage you to go to the website of the 16, and that's an easy one, the16.com, all spelled out in lowercase, no numbers. Again, the16.com for more information and tickets for viewing A Choral Odyssey. And it's an incredible program, sumptuous in all sorts of ways. Let's hear Harry Christophers discuss A Choral Odyssey in a bit more detail.
Our Choral Odyssey project actually was a product, obviously, of lockdown. And I just felt it was essential for the 16 to do something different. Everybody was streaming concerts behind closed doors and doing small videos. And I felt that we needed to go back to the model that we had done with BBC Television over 10 years ago now, with the wonderful actor Simon Russell Beale as presenter. But in this Choral Odyssey, what we've done is we've gone to fabulous venues. We called on a lot of favours, and we've got Simon presenting the programme. So we're looking at the historical, political, social aspects at the time of the composers we were we're performing. But we not only do a few demonstrations about those musics, but about the music, but we also perform the music in its entirety. So it was wonderful going to places like Hatfield House, where, of course, Queen Elizabeth I, that was where she learned she was going to be Queen of England. And there in the archives there, there's a wonderful letter from Thomas Tallis and William Byrd to Queen Elizabeth pleading poverty. So here we are in Hatfield House performing music by Byrd, alongside actually music by the present-day composer Arvo Pärt. Both composers lived through sort of religious and political upheaval. And we did a programme at the Globe in London of Purcell. We did one in Magdalen College, Oxford, of the music of Richard Davey and John Shepherd, both composers who worked at Magdalen, and so whose music would have first been heard there. And so wonderful for us to perform it there in its original venue. So wonderful places we visited, and it was a difficult project to do because we were doing it all by ourselves. We had to find the right video company to work with. We used one of our usual sound engineers. And yes, I think we will continue to do something along those lines. I think the 16 have always been, we've always found different ways of doing things. And what lockdown has, of course, taught us all in the classical world is that there are people all over the world that can now listen to us and watch us, and that is a real plus, and we will continue to do so. Of course, all these things need money, and the 16 are constantly looking for ways to make these things possible. Watch this space. I think there's going to be exciting times when we get back to normality.
For more information about the 16's Choral Odyssey, go to their website, the16.com, all spelled out in lowercase, no numbers, all letters, lowercase, the16.com. Again, for more information about A Choral Odyssey, wonderful program that I know you will enjoy. Rushing now to the end of the second hour of the third floor, and three more songs from Swiss composer Franck Martin. I wish I could play all of them from the Songs of Ariel, based on Shakespeare's text for The Tempest, but we'll only be able to get to three, and they are, "Come unto these yellow sands, before you can say, and where the bee sucks." We'll hear the 16, directed by Harry Christophers. From Franck Martin's Songs of Ariel, with text from Shakespeare's Tempest, we heard "Come unto these yellow sands, before you can say, and where the bee sucks," performed by the 16, with my very, very special guest, Harry Christophers. Thank you for being on The Third Floor this week. I'm Bill Cromwell, your host and listening companion, and still lots of great music to go in the third hour. We'll begin with an anthem from Eric Whitaker, the American composer, and move on to keyboard music from Robert Schumann, and then an aria from Rossini, and finally some instrumental music from Max Bruch. Do stay with me.